You know, the scripture reading that I read a moment ago, the two verses from the story of Noah and the flood that destroyed the earth. It had quit raining, and the Bible says the ark had come to rest on Mount Ararat. And on the 17th day of the seventh month, it's when that ark came to rest. The earth began to dry out. And then the Bible says on the 10th day of the 10th month, so it came to rest on the 17th day of the 7th month, and so about 3 months later, the 10th day of the 10th month, Noah was able to look out and see the tops of the mountains. Okay? In chapter 7, the Bible says that the waters covered the mountains by 15 cubits. And so the water went up over the top of the mountains by about 22 and a half feet. And on the 10th day of the 10th month, Noah was able to open that one window that was in the ark and look out and see the tops of the mountains. So he knew that the earth was starting to dry out. And on that day, when he saw the tops of the mountains, he sent out two birds. He sent out a raven. Now, a raven, the Bible says, went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. In other words, when Noah sent out the raven didn't come back. Because you see, the raven is a dirty bird. It's like a buzzard. And even though there wasn't any trees yet, or even though there wasn't any land that was showing yet, it was still covered by water, the raven just flew from corpse to corpse, dead animal to dead animal, and he sort of had a smorgasbord eating the meat of all those things that were dead, and that's why he didn't come back to the ark. Well, Noah, after he sent out the raven, sent out a dove, and the dove is a clean bird, and the Bible says that the dove couldn't find rest for the sole of her foot. No tree to land on, no piece of land to land on, so she flew back to the ark, and we read in verse 9 that Noah was standing there by the window, and he put forth his hand, and he took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. Now, it's not part of my sermon this morning, but I was thinking about it, and I just want to throw it in. The raven and the dove picture for us how God expects us to interact with this world. He expects us to be like dove. He expects us to stay away from the filth of the world. That's why the Bible says, touch not the unclean thing. And too many of us as Christians are acting like ravens. We're finding rest and we're feeding off the filth of the world, the things of the world that we should stay away from, the things of the world that are dirty. And we're making ourselves like Lot when he lived in Sodom, that wicked city, where the Bible says he vexed his righteous soul. And many Christians in today's world, because they're getting involved in the things of the world, are not living up to the potential that God wants them to live up to. And so it would be a whole lot better off if we would be like the dove, and when we come to that dirty stuff of the world, that we wouldn't land on it. And we wouldn't find any rest in it. And we wouldn't feed in it. That we'd stay clean and pure in the midst of this filthy, wicked world. So the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she came back to the ark, and Noah pulled her in to the ark. And again, the ark is a picture of Jesus. It's a picture of salvation. It's a picture of how much God loves us and how he's looking out for us. And I'm so glad that God puts picture after picture in the Bible that tells us about himself and tells us about his love and tells us about his salvation. I mean, the coats that God made for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to cover themselves after they sinned is a picture of what Jesus was going to do. The Ark of Noah is a picture of salvation as it saved everybody that was willing to get on from the destruction of the flood. The Passover lamb and the blood when they were captives in Egypt, the blood that was put on the side of the door where the death angel passed over that house and didn't kill the firstborn. That's a picture of Jesus. The raised up serpent in the wilderness when the people were bitten by the fiery serpents and God told Moses to make a serpent of brass and put it on a pole and lift it up. And anybody that had been bitten by the snake, if they didn't want to die, all they had to do was look at the upraised serpent. And they lived. And Jesus quoted from that story in John chapter 3 when he was talking to Nicodemus, when he says, and as a serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And there's many, many other stories in the Bible that God uses as pictures to paint and to teach us about salvation. And I'm glad that God is still painting pictures. And he painted a picture for some of us that were here after prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Again, a picture of salvation. It's been on my heart ever since it happened. And so this morning, I want to preach a sermon again I've entitled, A Critter in the Wall. Sometime on Wednesday, there was a critter that got into one of the church walls. It was the wall between the stairwell and the office. I don't know how it got there. I still have not figured out how a critter could get into that wall. I don't know what it was. You could hear it as it tried to climb its way up the wall and then would fall back down. You could hear it as it tried to claw its way through the wall. All of its efforts was to no avail. It was trapped. It was going to die. There was nothing that it could do to rescue itself, to escape. That critter, and I'll tell you what it was in just a minute, but that critter represents every sinner. Because you see, every sinner is trapped in sin. Every sinner is bound by sin. And those sinners, they try to climb up and make their way out. But regardless of how high they get, they always fall back down. They try to claw their way out from those chains of sin. But there's nothing a sinner can do to escape the grasp and the chains and the binding of sin. You can't be good enough to do it. You can't join the church to do it. You can't get baptized and do it. You can't take the Lord's Supper to do it. The Bible says that salvation is not of works. Salvation is not anything that we can do for ourselves. And there are people that are lost today that don't know Jesus Christ that are trying to do their best to work out their own salvation. And the Bible says it won't work. It won't work. That song that Adam, he didn't. I don't know if he sang the first verse or not, but he sang the verse where the song says, "I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more." That's a picture of every sinner, trapped, sinking in sin. Stained, deeply stained. Nothing that they can do to lift themselves out of the trap. Nothing they can do to free themselves from sin. Left to themselves, they're going to die. Left to themselves, there's nothing that they can do to escape the penalty of sin. Now, this story of the critter in the wall started for me Wednesday afternoon. I'd flown back from Boston that morning. I'd gone into the office for a couple hours before coming to prayer meeting. I got a call from my daughter-in-law, Chantel. She says, "There's something in the wall." She held the phone up to the wall. She said, "Can you hear it?" And I heard this thing. You know, it was just scraping. And I could hear it fall back down as it tried to climb up. And she said this, "I'd like your permission to cut a hole in the wall and let it out." Now, here's what I had in my mind. You know, she's in the office. I said, "This sounds like a big possum to me. It's going to be a hole in the wall about this big." I said, "You are not cutting a hole in the wall." And I know she'd already talked to Adam, and she was appealing to a higher authority. I said, "No, you can't cut a hole in the wall." And really, here's what I was doing. I was protecting my grandson. Because here's what I pictured in my mind. She's going to cut a hole in the wall. A big possum's going to come out. It's going to bite her. She's going to get rabies. And she's going to have to go to the hospital and get rabies shots. And they give rabies shots in your stomach. I said, "How would that affect an unborn child?" I said, "No, you cannot cut a hole in the wall." And then she starts to work on me. She says, whatever it is going to die. I said, so what? You have a very compassionate pastor. She says, it's going to stink if it dies. I said, well, it won't stink very long. It'll go away. She says, no, we need to save it. We need to rescue it. We need to cut a hole in the wall so that we can get it out of there so it won't die. And so I took a different tact with her. I said, okay, just wait. I'll be there for a prayer meeting in a little bit, and we can talk about it then. Now, here's the truth. There are sinners all around us, trapped in their sin, trying the best they can to get out, but they're dying and are going to go to hell. Somebody needs to listen to their cry. Somebody needs to see their struggle. Somebody needs to cut a hole in the wall and let them see the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some of those that are bound by sin, many of those that are bound by sin, they don't know what they need. They don't know that they need Jesus. They just know there's something wrong in their life. They just know there's something missing in their life. They just know they lack a sense of purpose. They say, if this is all there is to life, then why should I live it? If this is all there is, they say like Solomon, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. And they struggle and they cry out and they feel trapped and they can't get out and they need help. They need somebody to hear their cry. And we have what they need. We're like Peter and John in Acts chapter 3 when they ran across the lame man. And he was there begging and he expected Peter and John to give him some money. And Peter said this, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Peter said, I don't have any money to put in your little cup, but I have something that's better than money. And I have it, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you about Jesus. And Peter told that lame man about Jesus and healed him. And he got up walking and jumping around, praising the Lord. Because he didn't get what he thought he was looking for. He got what he needed. And there are people in the world today, they don't know what they're looking for. They think, well, maybe the excitement of the world will satisfy what I'm missing in my life. Maybe the wealth in the world will satisfy what I think is missing in my life. But I'll tell you what, the world has nothing that it can offer that can satisfy the soul search of a sinner. The only thing that will satisfy that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Peter said, I don't have silver and gold, but what I have, I'll give you. I'll give you Jesus. The world says, let him die. Many Christians say, let him die. Many churches say, let him die. That's what your preacher said. Let it die. I came to church. Chantel continued her story. Said, come over here. Listen to this thing. Sure enough, I went over there to the wall. You could hear it climb up and fall back down. You could hear it clawing, trying to make its way through the drywall. Well, it was about 20 after 6 at that point. I said, look, we don't have time right now. Let's wait till after prayer meeting, and then we'll talk about it then. I said, maybe she'll forget about it. Maybe it'll be quiet and it'll just go away and she'll think that it's escaped on its own. And by the way, the critter could have died before prayer meeting was over. So we had prayer meeting. It wasn't quiet. It hadn't escaped. It was still climbing up the wall and falling back. It was still clawing, trying to get out. And I tried to put her off. I tried to just say, hey, look, let's just forget it. Maybe tomorrow it'll climb up that wall and find its way out. And here's what Chantel finally said. I'm not leaving until we get that thing out of the wall. You know what? That's exactly what every lost sinner needs. They need somebody that hears their cry and sees their struggle and goes to God on their behalf and grabs hold of God and says, I'm not letting go until they get saved. I'm not going to quit bombarding heaven with my prayers. I'm not going to quit shedding my tears until this one that's bound by sin and struggling to get out, I'm not going to let go, God, until you get them, until they know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We pray for people, but how long? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? Half an hour? An hour? We pray for people. A day? A week? How long? A year? There are people sitting in this room this morning that were saved because somebody prayed for them for years. They got hold of God and they said, I'm not leaving until you get them. Every lost sinner needs somebody like that. One thing I've learned about my daughter-in-law, once she gets her mind made up, she's stubborn. If I said no, I know what she'd do. She'd say, okay. She'd leave. Then she'd bring Adam back and says, we're not going home until you cut a hole in the wall and get this thing out. I mean, the other night, on my birthday, I got home. I was in Chicago. They took me out to dinner. So it was about 9:30 when we got done, and I had promised them when they got the wallpaper up in the nursery, I'd go buy them. Debbie and I were going to buy them their baby bed. So about 9:30, 10 o'clock, we were over at Target, and we bought the baby bed. So, you know, they put it in a car and went home, and I called Adam the next morning. I said, hey, let me know when you're going to put that baby bed together, and I'll come over and help you. He said, I had to put it together last night. She told me I couldn't go to bed until I got the bed together. So I know, she's stubborn. And once she gets her mind, here's what I could see happening. They would come back, they'd cut that hole in the wall, and that big possum would come out and bite her. And then I'd get a call, and I'd have to go to the hospital. So I said, all right, we're going to cut a hole in the wall. Now, Ken and Helen were still here. And Ken, so we're looking for something to cut a hole in the wall. So Ken reaches in his pocket, and he pulls out this knife. Looks like a switchblade. I said to myself, I'm not messing with this guy. I said, no, Ken, we can find something better. I'm just kidding him, by the way. It wasn't a switchblade, but I wouldn't mess with him. Anyhow, we can find something better than this. So I went in my office, and I found a little keyhole saw. Little saw, sharp point on it. And rather than cut a big hole in the office, I crawled underneath the steps. And I punched that saw through the wall, and I cut a hole. That hole big enough for a possum, because I wanted to see what was coming out of there. If it was a possum, we were going to do something else. So I cut a little hole in the wall, and they gave me a garbage can. So, you know, I cut a hole in the wall, I pushed the drywall back into the hole, and it sort of went over on an angle like that, and I stuck that garbage can up against the wall, and I said, okay, whatever you are, come out. Come into this garbage can, I'll put something on the top, and then I'll take you outside and dump you outside. So I held the garbage can there, and I still didn't know what it was. And I just talked to that critter. And regardless of what I said, the critter would not come into the garbage can. And as I got to thinking about it, I realized the critter could not understand one word that I was saying. He didn't understand that I was trying to save him. He didn't understand, he or she didn't understand, I was trying to form a rescue. They didn't understand it. I wasn't going to hurt him. I was just going to take him outside and let him go. You know, that's why God had to send Jesus. Because we didn't understand what God was trying to do for us. He painted us all sorts of pictures, but we couldn't understand it. That's why he had to send Jesus to come and take the form of a human being and talk critter talk, so to speak, so we could understand how much God loved us. So we could understand that we're sinners. So we could understand that there's a penalty for sin and that Jesus was going to pay the penalty for us on Calvary's cross. He said, the Son of Man, talking about himself, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Terry and Phyllis were still here as well. Terry was in the closet with me looking over my shoulder. And he said, pull that trash can back for a minute. So, you know, very cautiously, I pulled the trash can back. And barehanded, he reached down there and plucked that little piece of drywall out of the hole. And I quickly pushed the trash can back up against the wall. And before I did, I saw that this big, ferocious, many-teeth possum was not a possum at all, but a little birdie. So I started talking birdie talk. Hey, little birdie, if you'll just fly into this trash can, I'll put a lid on it and take and throw you outside and you can be free. But you know what? That little birdie didn't understand me either. At this point, Terry got a little tired. He was like me. He didn't want anything to do with it. He wanted to go home after prayer meeting, but he stuck around. He said, preacher, get out of the way. And I'm sure he was thinking, what a wuss I have for a pastor. A coward, chicken, afraid of a little bird. So what does he do? My hero, the great white hunter, takes a towel and throws it over the bird. You see, he didn't want to get hurt either. Now, I will tell you, I'll just go ahead and admit to you, I wouldn't have done it with the towel. But he took that towel and he put it over that bird and he reached down there and grabbed it, pulled it out, took it outside, and that bird flapped its wings and had its freedom. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. When we were bound in sin with no hope of escaping, he reached way down, as Adam sang about us, and grabbed hold of us. But I want you to notice something this morning. He didn't have a towel. And we hurt him. We planted a crown of thorns on his brow. We beat him with rods. We plucked out his beard. We whipped him. We nailed him to a cross, stuck a spear in his side. In spite of all that, he reached down, way down, and grabbed us and saved us. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. At Calvary. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're like that critter in the wall. You can struggle and you can fight, but there's nothing that you can do to save yourself. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And this morning, he knows your struggle. He knows there's nothing that you can do to escape the clutches of sin. But he'll reach down to where you are. He knows you. He knows you as an individual. He'll reach down and he'll take you and he'll put you to safety. Would you let him do that this morning? Would you? All you got to do is say yes. All you got to do is make yourself willing, like that little bird. When Terry reached down and grabbed that little bird, it didn't struggle. Of course, it had a towel around him, but it didn't struggle. He brought it out of the closet and opened up the towel, showed it to us. It didn't struggle. I don't know if it realized it or not, but that little bird was in the hands of its Savior, just like you can be this morning if you'll trust Jesus. If you're a Christian here this morning, you rejoice that you had a God that came looking for you, came to where you were, and when you could do nothing for yourself, did everything that was needed to save you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for painting a picture of salvation. Thank you for making it so clear and plain what Jesus did for us when he lifted us from that sea of sin that we were sinking in. Like the song says, but the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. And I pray, Father, for every person that's here that's never trusted Jesus, never said yes to him, I pray that they'd be like that little bird and the Savior could reach down, pull them from sin, set them safely on shore, and be a Savior to them. Man, woman, boy, girl, Father, if they've never prayed and asked Jesus to be their Savior, help them do it this morning. Pray for the Christians that are here. Pray, Holy Spirit, you again would help us realize what we have in our salvation. What Jesus did for us when he saved us. I pray if there's things in our life that shouldn't be there, because we've seen the great love that he has for us once again, we'd make some promises this morning to get rid of those things. If there's somebody here you've spoken to, Holy Spirit, about baptism or church membership, I pray they'd come as well. Just take this invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.